Welcome to the Wall Street Journal's Small Business Report. I'm Gordon Deal. Today's stories include how Obamacare is altering the way owners run their operations, how it can be cheaper and easier than ever to start your own business, and the changing landscape for internships. Those stories and more after this.
Don't just read the Wall Street Journal, experience it with podcasts from the Wall Street Journal online. Headlines, technology, personal finance, small business tips, featured stories from journal reporters and more. For a complete list of podcasts, log on to wsj.com/podcasts or check us out on your smartphone with Stitcher or TuneIn.
You'll recall that many small businesses want a reprieve on providing health insurance under the Affordable Care Act until 2015 or later. Nonetheless, the law is already having a lasting impact on how owners choose to run their companies. Wall Street Journal small business reporter Sarah Needleman has examples. Sarah, what have you found?
Small business owners throughout the country are taking steps now, or at least they're thinking about what steps they should be taking to either comply with the law or to cope with the potential increase in premiums. And as they do on an annual basis, they're always looking at the additional, the number of new signups to their health plans. Of course, sometimes people go off their plans, so they're constantly trying to manage that cost. And we know the cost of health insurance premiums have been going up for a while now anyway, so to some extent they're used to that. But they are trying to, for those that don't offer insurance now and will need to in the future to comply with the law, or they're going to need to offer better insurance, they're certainly factoring in those costs and weighing their options. So, for example, there are some that are looking at possibly switching carriers or changing the amount they contribute towards premiums. They are looking at possibly self-insurance. And then there are also ones who are considering taking steps to avoid having to comply with the law altogether. So there are ones that are thinking about paying the penalty for noncompliance, which is $2,000 for each full-time worker, excluding the first 30 employees. And some have begun restructuring their businesses by, as we know, reducing their employees' hours or trimming their total headcount so they get below that 50 threshold.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Needleman about how Obamacare is having a lasting effect on small businesses. All right, so give some specifics. Tell me a company that's doing something like that.
We looked at a chain of grocery stores based in Fairhope, Alabama. That's a business with about 240 employees, and the owner of that company has seen a lot more employees go on his plans this year because he added a second lower-cost plan to make it more affordable for some of his low-income workers. But he's really concerned because a lot more employees came on the plan. He's concerned that even more employees will come on the plan next year, which could drive up his costs and might force him to raise his prices. We're also looking at a small business, a much smaller business, a bakery, and that company has just 27 employees. So it's not required to comply with the mandate yet. This is an example of a business where the owners feel that providing health insurance is really important for attracting and retaining the best people. They feel that a lot of their competitors do it, bigger or whether they're larger or not, and so they want to be able to provide that too. Because when you're a worker and you're weighing the options of joining a company that provides health care benefits and one that doesn't, naturally, you may gravitate to the former. Mm-hmm. But the problem for them is that their broker expects their premiums to increase by about 20% in November when they renew their policy. And if that happens, it may be difficult for them to continue offering the benefit.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. Wall Street Journal small business reporter Sarah Needleman in New York. Here's some good news for would-be entrepreneurs. It's easier and cheaper than ever to try a new business idea. Here's the Wall Street Journal's Joe Connolly.
The best thing about all the new technology is that it is so cheap to try a new idea. Here's what a communications trainer, Jim Cameron, told a business owners meeting recently about a new commuter rail passengers customers group that he started, just like a business.
January, I launched a new group, Commuter Action Group. It was a website, a Facebook page, a Twitter feed. Within 3 weeks, we had 500 opt-in emails, 3,000 Twitter followers. The total cost of this startup, the Commuter Action Group, all the social media, all the traction we've got, $12. $10 to register the domain name and $2 to buy some business cards.
Plus, he got the group TV interviews. He calls the commuters group a social media advocacy group, a type of nonprofit. The head of another business group said that the new media can help nonprofit organizations a lot. By posting videos of your clients telling their stories on camera and showing them using the services that the donors are funding. She says YouTube videos are very powerful in a new way for nonprofit groups. I'm Joe Connolly for The Wall Street Journal.
Thank you, Joe. Coming up next, what new grads can expect from the job market.
Hi, I'm Lex Friedman. I run my own business called Podlexing, so I know from experience, hiring new employees can be tough. With so many job boards out there, how can you know which one will produce the best talent? Realistically, to fill the position fast and with the perfect candidate, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can do it with a single click with ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com lets you post to more than 40 job sites at once. ZipRecruiter.com also posts your job on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. Just post once and watch the qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. You can screen applicants, rate them, and hire the right people fast. Try ZipRecruiter free right now and find out why it's been used by over 100,000 businesses. And right now, listeners of this program can try ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. That's ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ. One more time, to try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/WSJ.
Graduation season is here, as you know. What can new grads expect from the job market? A new study from CareerBuilder and CareerRookie.com finds that 57% of employers say they plan to hire new college graduates. That's up 53% from last year.
The number one major that they're looking for is business. They want somebody who knows how the business works and what they need to do to grow the business. The next is going to be the computer and information sciences, followed by engineering, math, and statistics.
Michael Irwin, senior career advisor at CareerBuilder, says new grads can help themselves by always continuing to learn.
When you graduate this May or June, or if you've already graduated, you have to continue to challenge yourself and you have to continue to take on more learning. And that really impresses an employer.
See if your small business falls into these categories with regards to this study. In terms of money, more than half of companies expect to pay new grads less than $40,000 a year as a starting salary. And while most employers believe recent college grads are ready for the real world, 24% don't feel that schools are adequately preparing students for positions needed within their organizations. And finally today, finding relevant work experience or networking opportunities before graduating college may be getting harder. After a string of high-profile lawsuits, schools have tightened policies for summer interns. In addition, some companies are getting rid of their internship programs entirely. The story from Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Feinzig. Rachel, what are you hearing?
Schools are responding. They're kind of tightening up the standards by which they judge employers who are posting these internships. So, for example, at NYU, employers have to click a button to confirm that they are complying with Department of Labor standards if they're posting an internship. We're seeing other schools kind of follow suit. At Columbia University in February, they announced that they're no longer offering. They used to have like a special credit that students would get on their transcript for internships, and they kind of took that away.
So the students need protection from what here?
Well, there's been a lot of debate over unpaid internships. It's kind of become a resume must, in this kind of tough job market, can help students, stand out. And sometimes they're gaining really valuable work experience and kind of learning, about career paths and what the corporate world is like. But on the other hand, there are some critics who say that this is basically just unpaid labor. I've talked to people who, claim that it can be exploitive and, that companies aren't really holding up their end of the bargain when it comes to really playing by the rules for what the Department of Labor requires for unpaid internship work.
So how are companies responding to this?
A lot of companies are just getting rid of their internship programs altogether.
Wow.
They've been spooked by these lawsuits. We talked to lawyers who said that they're having, tons of employers coming to them and, just thinking this through. Some of them are converting to paid internship programs. So on the getting rid of internship front, we saw Condé Nast earlier this year get rid of its very coveted internship program. And then in terms of switching over to paid internships, we've seen a couple media companies, Viacom, they're being sued by some former MTV interns. And so they said previously that policies have kind of varied across the board in terms of what was paid and what wasn't. And then this past summer, they instituted a paid internship program. So some companies are moving that way as well.
We're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Feinzig. So the future of this could be what? Because it doesn't sound very promising. If companies are concerned about getting sued, right? They'll just assume get rid of the program like Condé Nast did.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we could see more employers following suit there. Or, you know, just kind of being, you know, I had a lawyer tell me, you know, companies are just being super, super cautious there. She, you know, sometimes recommends that people come up with some sort of a contract to give the intern to make sure everyone's on the same page, you know, and kind of protect themselves legally. But employers are still concerned because of the statute of limitations. I mean, even if they get rid of their programs now or convert them to paid internship programs, they could potentially still be on the hook. You know, someone could file a lawsuit from something that happened a few years ago.
Wall Street Journal reporter Rachel Feinzig in New York. If you want more on small business topics, trends, and startup ideas, check out WSJ.com and click the Small Business tab. I'm Gordon Deal for the Wall Street Journal.